under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Would you take roll, please?
Commissioner Sloan?
Here.
Commissioner Martinez?
Here.
Commissioner Broadway?
Here.
Chairman McKenzie and Commissioner Whitmire are both excused tonight.
Okay, thank you. The fourth item on our agenda, the minutes from the March 15th, 2016 meeting were distributed. Were there any corrections or modifications that were noted? Okay, there being none, we will accept those as distributed. Our fifth item on the agenda is correspondence. Are there any correspondence?
Correspondence?
Any correspondence?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Sixth item on the agenda is citizens addressing the commission on non-agenda items. If there are any citizens wishing to address the commission on items that are not on the agenda, now is your opportunity to approach. Do we have anyone wishing to address the commission on non-agenda items? Okay, there being none, we will move to consent items. And we have no consent items on the agenda today, so we will move to our public hearings. The first item on our agenda is the project that was continued from the March 15th meeting, and that is the Stanford Ranch Congregate Care Facility. And I believe, Dara, you are going to present that to us this evening.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Commissioners. The project for your consideration this evening consists of a design review requesting approval for the construction and operation of an approximately 122,166 square foot, 110-unit senior housing and care facility with associated parking, hardscape, and landscaping on an approximately 5.5-acre site. The facility includes a range of congregate senior living and care options, including independent living apartments, an assisted living facility, and a memory care facility. The facility will include amenities such as dining, housekeeping and laundry services, transportation, activities, social programs, and exercise and recreational equipment and amenities. The congregate care, independent living apartments, assisted living, and memory care facilities will be licensed by the State of California Department of Social Services as residential care facilities for the elderly, as non-medical facilities that provide room, meals, housekeeping, supervision, storage and distribution of medication, and personal care assistance with basic activities of hygiene, dressing, eating, bathing, and transferring. The memory care facility is required to meet additional specialized training and experience standards for dementia care. The site is located approximately 550 feet westerly of the intersection of West Stanford Ranch Road and Wildcat Boulevard. Staff analyzed the project relative to CEQA and prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the project. The required mitigations have been incorporated as conditions of approval for the project. The property is zoned planned development 20 units per acre, or PD-20, and the underlying general plan designation is high-density residential, or HDR. The proposed senior facility isn't allowed use by right for that zoning designation in the Stanford Ranch General Development Plan, and it is considered acceptable upon approval of a design review entitlement. The proposed 110-unit project is consistent with the maximum of 20 dwelling units per acre allowed by the zoning on the approximately 5.5-acre site. Staff reviewed the proposed project and found that it is consistent with both the Stanford Ranch General Development Plan and the city's general plan. The facility is comprised of four buildings. Buildings A and B are the assisted living and memory care buildings, respectively. Buildings C and D are the independent living apartments, or villas, as they are referred to in the project materials. Access from the street is provided from two driveways off of West Stanford Ranch Road. Internal circulation is provided by a perimeter driveway that circles the site with a cross connection between buildings A, B, and C. The City of Rockland zoning ordinance contains off-street parking standards for rest homes and apartments, but does not include a standard for age-restricted apartments. The parking requirement for rest homes is one space per bed. The parking requirement for apartments is 1.5 spaces per bedroom unit plus 25% visitor spaces and 2 spaces per 2 or more bedroom units plus 25% visitor spaces. Using these standards from the code, the project would be required to provide 153 parking spaces. The proposed parking of 118 spaces is consistent with the parking ratios that the city has approved recently for other senior living facilities, senior living and care facilities. For the 110-unit facility, the proposed parking ratio is 1.07 spaces per unit and 0.87 space per bed, which includes the independent living apartments. For comparison, both in 2013, Bella Vita was approved with a parking ratio of 0.75 space per unit, bless you, and Whitney Ranch Assisted Living, also known as the Pines now that it's open, was approved with a ratio of 0.65 space per unit, which equates to a half a space per bed. The zoning ordinance, Chapter 17.66.190, allows the Planning Commission to determine off-street parking requirements for uses not listed in the code, such as age-restricted apartments and memory care. The project is conditioned to provide daily transportation to the residents, and Placer County Dial-A-Ride service is available for the residents as well. Staff supports the proposed parking for this project, finding it is consistent with parking required of other recent projects. These next two slides provide perspectives and renderings of the project, generally as it would be viewed from the street. One is a little bit of an overhead. The upper view is a full street view elevation, as if you were looking straight on from it from across the street. The proposed architecture for the facility is consistent with the city design review guidelines, employing a Spanish mission-inspired design with painted stucco and concrete barrel tile roofing. Shutters, fabric awnings, decorative tiles, and decorative light fixtures provide accents and interest to the buildings. The architecture achieves the objectives of the design review guidelines, providing varied massing, variations of roof heights and shapes, and wall articulation with arches, windows, and changes of plane, as well as the decorative shutter awning and tile elements. This is the elevation of Building A, which is the assisted living. This is the same elevation as we just saw from the street view. The north elevation is the elevation that faces West Stanford Ranch Road. This is Building B, which is the memory care facility. And these are elevations for Building C and D, which are the independent living apartments or villas. This slide provides a few of the site details. Showing the sound wall, which is conditioned to match the existing that is already constructed with the Two Oaks subdivision, the tubular steel fence, which is used to enclose the driveways, and the monument signage. Finally, the proposed landscape is consistent with the city's design review guidelines, employing a mix of various species of trees, shrubs, and ground covers. The landscaping complies with the city's parking lot shade requirements. Also, this slide shows the overall landscape plan. I have a slide with the details for the entry at Building A on the upper left, typical plantings around Building D on the upper right, typical entrance detail on the lower left, and a detail around the memory care building at the lower right. And this is just the tree list. With that, may I answer any questions at this time?
A couple questions. Yeah. Do you know if this site is one of the sites that is designated for, you know, us meeting our RENA numbers? Is it, I mean, it's an HDR site, but is it a, you know, a site that's designated to meet our RENA obligations?
Hi, Laura Webster, Economic and Community Development. This site is in our list, I believe, of available sites. I don't have it in front of me, but not for the lower income categories because the zoning was at 20 units per acre, not 22 plus. I believe if it's listed at all, it would be under moderate.
Okay. And so just curious if so we're only obligated to have sites available, right? I mean, to show the state that we have.
We're obligated to maintain an inventory of available sites. We're also tracking our progress toward
right.
meeting our RENA goals, and we report that annually to the state.
So when the next time comes around for a housing element update,
yes.
they, I assume, review inventory. You have a new allocation for every jurisdiction.
Correct.
And presumably over time, if those properties are not developed to meet the affordability, the income groups that they're hoped to be, you know, meeting, does that kind of pinch the city in a, you know, a cycle where there's going to be over time fewer and fewer opportunities to reach, you know, the goals?
It's something we have to monitor closely, and we are. So as projects come forward, we are making sure that right now we have some surpluses in both the lower income and moderate category in terms of site adequacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just continuing to monitor that. We do have our eye on potential other properties in the future that may need to be looked at as redesignated. We met with the council in November about that in kind of a workshop setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just something we continually monitor.
So if this one is intended to meet moderate, is that what you said?
If it's on the list at all, it would be under
moderate.
If
it were on the list, right. And would this type of development meet that criteria?
It depends on what the rates are in terms of the rents, basically.
Oh, okay. So it's only kind of after it's developed that you
right.
go back and...
After it's developed, we go back. We have to report on a construction per year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever year this was constructed in, then we would consult with the managers and find out what the pricing was for the units, and then we would compare that with what the area median income for different percentages is and find out what it falls into.
Okay. So I'm assuming at this point staff has not expressed any concern with this particular site?
No.
From a housing standpoint?
Correct.
Okay. The other question I had is on the parking standard. I don't really have a problem with the parking standard, and we've had two fairly recent projects where we've approved a lower parking standard. I don't believe either one of them have been built yet. Is that correct?
Whitney Ranch Assisted Living is constructed and operating as under the name The Pines. It's at West Ranch View and Wildcat.
Okay. Okay, good. So I'm just curious if it seems like we may be getting more of these types of projects, maybe with the aging population or something. Should we consider a standard? And maybe this doesn't apply to this project specifically, but just a thought, because it seems like we're making a accommodation, if you will, on each one of these projects.
We have, as a practice for many years, kind of evaluated each of these on a case-by-case basis based on the proposal from the developer, our experience, and with past projects. Certainly it's something we could look at to come up with a standard to use going forward. Quite honestly, it's not been high on our priority list. But as you point out, we're getting more and more of these, and so perhaps we need to look at that again.
Yeah. That's all I had. Thanks.
Thank you. I actually want to just tie into that. So do we know relative to those guidelines what other cities have in place? Do we have any understanding of that relative to their requirements so that it could provide us with some direction if we chose to put something in place?
Yes, with some of the prior projects, we've gotten information from the developer about standards in other cities. They range all over the place, as you might expect. A lot of them tend to fall somewhat below what our cumulative one is using congregate care and apartment standards. generally speaking, the consensus that we've seen seems to be somewhere around one space, give or take, per bed or unit. And certainly if we were going to look at adopting something, we'd do another survey to see what surrounding new jurisdictions are doing for consistency.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll hold my other questions for the applicant. So with that, there being no other questions for staff, do we have a representative from the applicant who would like to speak on the behalf of the project? Could you push the button on the mic, please?
The red light.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Lane Borges with Borges Architectural Group, 1478 Stone Point Drive in Roseville. We do have some slides that I believe are now on the screen. So I'd like to thank you for your time and consideration tonight for this project. I am here on behalf of the project's co-developers, which are LDK Capital and Pacific Oak Development Company. Most of you are probably familiar with LDK Capital, Larry Kelly, the developer of Stanford Ranch, and LDK is a development entity of his. Obviously, McClellan Park, one of his current development projects, and Larry is also the developer of the Sacramento Rail Yards. The other co-developer of this project is another local company, Pacific Oak Development. They deal exclusively in doing senior housing projects, including the Casa de Santa Fe project here in Rockland several years ago, a couple of projects with Eschaton, one in Granite Bay off of a Barton Road, the Fountainwood Assisted Living Facility in Citrus Heights, and a large senior campus in Cameron Park called Ponte Palmero. The project that is before you tonight is yet to be named, and I'm sure their marketing folks will come up with some catchy name as this project moves forward. But the project that we're going to discuss and show to you tonight is possibly a little different than maybe other senior projects that have come before you, in that this project is what is called in the industry a CCRC. And what that stands for is a continuing care retirement community that provides different levels of care to senior citizens basically in a single residential campus setting. And what that does, the concept allows residents to basically age in place at one location and to transition through the property to higher levels of care when it becomes necessary. Another benefit and an important factor of this type of development is it allows couples to remain together. It's quite common in senior care that couples enter facilities at the same level of care, and then the level of care changes for one of the two. And in many cases, the spouse then has to move to another facility at another location, causing a bit of a hardship on them. So this concept allows levels of care to increase and couples to basically remain in close proximity to each other throughout. The facilities in the application are also called, in some cases, congregate living. And the concept of congregate living generally means that there's a shared living environment designed to integrate housing and the service needs of elders on one campus and in one location. I think the staff's report also had indicated that the project is a licensed project by the State of California Department of Social Services as a residential care facility, and our project does include three levels of care: our independent living villas, our assisted living facility, and our memory care facility. And each of these is provided in a separate building, and I'll spend a couple of minutes going through each of those on the slides to talk a little bit more about those. While we have the site plan in front of you, I wanted to just point out a couple of things. I know there was some discussion and concerns about parking. One of the challenges in a project like this is because we have three different levels of care, that even if there were standards, we'd end up with some kind of a combined standard, because generally the standards for memory care or Alzheimer's care would be different than independent living, which would be different than assisted living. And if you looked at one of those facilities on a standalone basis, the parking would probably be higher than they would be on a combined basis, because we have shared internal services. We have one large commercial kitchen that services all of the residents here, as opposed to each building having their own. We have one administrative staff that deals with all of the management of the property, as opposed to each building having their own. So we worked with staff to try to develop parking numbers that we think are quite adequate for this facility. And just for comparison, we went through, based on the experience of Pacific Oak with their various projects in this area, and looked at what the anticipated need actually is from the standpoint of uses. Staffing for this facility will probably be around 25 people on a daily basis, drops down significantly to about 6 to 8 people at night. In our various levels of care in the independent living villas, our experience is although each unit is provided with a garage, generally the only percentage of occupants that have cars are around 30 to 35%. So in our case, that equates to approximately 10 of the residents in the 24 villas would probably have a vehicle. In the assisted living, that drops down even lower, as the people in the assisted living are less mobile, need more assistance with daily activities of life. We find that the percentage of residents there that own a car and actually still drive is usually in the neighborhood of about 10%, maybe 15. So in our case, we're looking at somewhere between 10 and 12 residents there that would actually have a car. And then in the memory care facility, none of the residents of that facility would be would probably retain a license and still be driving. So if you add all the numbers up of what's anticipated to be required on site, we're around 50 spaces that would be necessary to supply the needs of the residents and the staff during the peak time. And our proposed project includes 94 surface parking spaces and then 24 garage spaces for the independent living unit. So we feel quite comfortable, and obviously operationally it's important to us that we have sufficient parking to meet the needs of the residents and of the staff that would be on site on a daily basis. Okay, what I'd like to do is walk through quickly the three levels of care that we have in the project. What's highlighted on the screen now would be our lowest level of care, or for those people that are the most independent. And this is our independent living villas. Our project includes 24. This is in a two-story configuration. We have 12 one-bedroom units, and we have 12 two-bedroom units. This type of housing in a CCRC is what we would call first-level transition housing. And generally, the kinds of occupants that we're dealing with are elderly people that are having difficulty being and living on their own, but are having a challenge breaking away from a single-family residence into an institutional environment that you would find a little bit more so like an assisted living. So this level of housing is there to try to provide that psychological buffer between leaving a home that you've been in for, in some cases, decades, and moving into a senior care facility. The units in this particular part of the project are set up and look a lot like a conventional apartment. And we have 1 and 2 bedroom units because in many cases, elderly couples don't necessarily share the same bed. They usually sleep in separate bedrooms. So we have 2 bedroom units, half of them, in order to accommodate that type of a resident. The residents here, though, are generally the more active of the residents in the community. But they are provided services in a congregate manner, such as their food service, housekeeping, laundry, transportation to doctor's appointments, to shopping, as well as a whole plethora of social activities, recreational activities, and outdoor activities, such as a pool and a spa, outdoor games, and those types of things. The floor plan that you see here is the first level of the independent living villas. And you can see from the plan, these are the one-bedroom units on the ground floor along with the single-car garages for each unit. The second level is the two-story units. And what you'll also notice there is that there's a portion of the lower floor roof that wraps around the perimeter of the building. The second floor is actually set back from the first floor. The floor area is actually a little smaller. So what that allows us to do is to scale back and step back the architecture of the buildings and reduce the mass of them a little bit. And it also sets the second floor units, which are closest to the existing residential subdivision, about another 10 feet away from the property line. This next slide is a depiction of the proposed architecture of the project, and you'll see this is a common theme through the other buildings, as Dara had pointed out. This design is inspired by, but it doesn't mimic exactly Spanish Mission style, but what we've tried to do is incorporate elements from that style, such as arched openings, barrel tile roofs, shutters, awnings, and decorative tile work to give the buildings a residential character, but they are large buildings, and to break down the scale by using gables and arches and other elements, articulation of walls, in order to make it feel more pedestrian-friendly. The building in itself does not attempt to match existing residences in the community in that the scale of the building is much different. But what it does do is it's intended to blend in harmoniously by using similar materials that is seen throughout the community. Having practiced architecture in this area and in Rockland for over 30 years, we've designed many buildings within the city during that time, and one thing that is clear is that styles change over time. Elements that were popular 15 years ago aren't popular today. The elements that are popular today won't be popular 5 years from now. So we don't try to necessarily copy the current architecture vocabulary because that's kind of a moving target. But what we do is we look around to see what is the preeminent theme of architecture in an area. And in Rockland, it has been and it continues to be overall quality of design. So irrespective of the shape of our roof or the size of our windows or the way we detail, one thing that the city of Rockland has always demanded and expected is that high quality in the design, meeting all of the guidelines that the city sets forward for building massing, for articulation, for proper scale. And we feel that these buildings certainly do that. The next building I want to talk briefly about is our assisted living facility. This is the project's main building, so it not only incorporates the assisted living living units, but it also incorporates the common dining room, the recreational rooms, the salon, the administrative offices, and is basically kind of the center point for the independent living villas and for the residents of the assisted living facility. The residents in this particular building are offered and provided the same type of services that the independent living people have available, but they also have additional higher-level services such as assistance with dressing, eating in some cases, personal hygiene, administration of medication, and assistance with mobility, as there will be a number of people in this facility that will be either in walkers or in wheelchairs. Our project includes 66 units, including 28 studios, 34 one-bedroom, and 4 two-bedroom units. And then these are the floor plans of the proposed assisted living facility. You can see all of the residential rooms are done in kind of a hospitality style, we would call it, so it has the feeling kind of like a high-end hotel, and they're all grouped around a large open courtyard. And then the architecture, again, of this building looks very similar to the style developed for the independent living. The last level of care that's provided on site is our memory care. And this facility includes 20 units. 10 of those are single bed, and 10 of those are double bed units. Here the residents will live in either a single or a double bed accommodation room in closer, more like a hospital type setting. Services for this facility include all of the same services at the assisted living, but the addition of specialized care from specially trained staff to deal with the unique problems of dementia care. One-story building, the memory care is with two independent courtyards for exterior purposes, and the elevations again. The next slides you saw briefly in Dara's presentation simply illustrate what the project looks like from the street view. This is an overall aerial. And then again, images of the facility as seen from the street. So with me tonight is a representative from Pacific Oak Development, as well as our landscape architect and civil engineer. So should you have any questions regarding operational issues or the design of the landscape or the engineering of the project, we'd be happy to try to address those.
Do we have any questions for the applicant? All right. I do have just a couple of questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Borges, for the discussion on the parking, because it's always a concern relative to any changes we make in parking, ensuring that we have sufficient parking. So you did a great job of describing that. I did want to ask about Exhibit C, which is designed to address parking enforcement plans so that we can ensure, given the fact that there will be reduced parking spaces, that we ensure that there is sufficient parking from the perspective of residents, staff, and, of course, anyone who would be visiting the location. And I noted that under project design, it's made a reference to the city's parking requirements for congregate care facilities. And as we discussed previously, there really are no written requirements. And so I would like to recommend that that be changed and determined if you would be willing to change that to state that that's representative of the parking that's provided pursuant to the parking approved through the design review for the facility?
Yes.
Okay.
We would be in agreement with that.
All right. And then I also noted that we do have a few areas that we need to correct. The second bullet point under project design, there is a number included there under enclosed or next to enclosed that needs to be struck from the document. So we'll need to correct the document to reflect that. And then under enforcement, I did want to discuss, it states in enforcement that leases and future CC&Rs will include a requirement that all residents, and then it says A, and I believe that refers to are required to park inside the garages. And I'd like to recommend that we better classify that to state that storage in garages, which does not permit maximum vehicular parking, is prohibited. In a sense, that would enable us to prevent storage from becoming an issue that prevents parking in the garages, and then state that the residents shall use those garages for parking of passenger vehicles so that we can be more specific to.
Well, I think our only comment there, as I indicated in our presentation, there is roughly about 30% of the residents of the independent living actually have a vehicle. And operationally, Pacific Oak and their other projects, the way that they control that is that any resident that has a vehicle, it has to be registered. And the registered vehicles have to be parked inside the garage. And their security people police that pretty efficiently every day by circulating through the lots. If they see one of the registered vehicles to an independent living unit that's parked outside, they go to the resident and they have that corrected. But there is a reasonable chance that we will have, you know, a sizable percentage that doesn't have a vehicle. So if there's some mechanism that allows those residents that don't have vehicles to utilize their garage in whatever manner is suitable for them, I understand the concern. If you have a car, we want it in the garage. But if you don't have a car, it may serve a purpose for storing whatever residents may carry with them from their other home rather than having just an empty space. So if there's some way to work around that and incorporate that idea into the condition, I think we would support that.
Okay. So your concern would be limiting storage in relationship to those who do not have a vehicle?
Correct.
As opposed to those with a vehicle. So as long as we have language that is specific to the fact that individuals, and even if all residents shall use their garages for the parking of personal vehicles.
Yes.
Something
we have
to
no
that
problem
extent.
With that. Yeah.
Our residents with cars
yes.
are required to use their garage for parking of the vehicle, if we can include that language.
Yeah, I don't think we have an issue with that.
Okay. And again, just to clarify that we are requiring those vehicles to be parked, as you previously stated.
Right.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
Great. All right. Thank you. That is all that I have.
If I could ask one question. You mentioned that some of the residents of the assisted living portion of the facility also have vehicles. Where do they store their vehicles, or where are they parked?
Well, their vehicles are parked out in just the open parking areas around the site. The majority of our parking, if you look at the site plan, is located along West Stanford Ranch along the main entry. We also have parking along the west side of Building B, which is the memory care. And then there is parking along the south side of that building facing the park to the rear, and then there's a little bit of parking between buildings A and building B that serves as guest parking for the independent living units. So the folks that live in the assisted living facility are basically permitted to park their cars where it's most convenient for them. There's not designated spaces, there's not carports or anything like that. Part of the reason is that the number is so small that it generally has not operationally been an issue in other facilities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we will now open the floor for public comment. Is there anyone from the public wishing to comment on the project? If so, please approach the podium. All right. There being none, we will close public comment and bring it back to the commission for discussion.
Okay, I'll start. I did have ex parte communications with the applicant, and no commitments were made. They just gave me kind of a brief overview of the project and answered a few questions. So I have reviewed the staff report and the M&D and find the project is consistent with the general plan amendment, our general plan designation and zoning, and meets the 20 dwelling units per acre minimum threshold. And it is a by right development. I find that the 118 spaces that are proposed for the site are adequate. In fact, it seems like often these types of facilities are overparked, even with standards similar to one space per bed. So I certainly don't see an issue with 118 spaces at this location. I think the site or the project meets the intent of the design guidelines, and the facility fits a need, or fills a need, I should say, in this neighborhood, in this area. I support the project.
Well done with the findings. No, I agree. I think it's consistent with the general plan and zoning on the property. I really like the architecture. These are big buildings that you, I think, did a real good job breaking up. There's just a lot of articulation going on, use of elements and colors, and I think it goes really nicely there. So I commend you on that. I won't repeat everything Commissioner Sloan mentioned, other than I support the project as proposed as well, and some of the comments about the parking as well, as far as the language that was suggested be amended. So I support the project.
Okay, thank you. I also participated in ex parte communication with the applicant. There were no commitments made, just general in nature and informative relative to the project. I also did visit the site and walked the project site to better understand the site. I will say that given the project, it's certainly consistent with the existing general plan designation and zoning pursuant to our Stanford Ranch general development and, of course, our citywide design review guidelines. So the project's clearly, as my fellow commissioners have stated, compatible with the surrounding commercial and residential development. I do agree that it is very well designed, and I think it fits a need for our community, and therefore I also support the project. So with that, could I get a motion?
Sure. I will make a motion to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a mitigated neg deck of the environmental impacts for Stanford Ranch Congregate Care Facility DR 2015-0010. And make a motion to approve resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rockland approving a design review for the Stanford Ranch Congregate Care Facility DR 2015-0010 with modifications to the parking languages, I should say the parking language as suggested by Commissioner Broadway.
Second.
Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And none opposed. So moved. There being no further public hearing items, we will move to non-public hearing items. The next item on the agenda is informational items and presentations. Are there any informational items or presentations?
No, sir.
All right. Reports and discussion items from the planning commissioners.
I can start off on our weekend planning commission workshop training that was on Saturday. I thought it was pretty good, kind of high level hierarchy of the different, you know, general plan, zoning, the documents that we review projects against, some good speakers, some people that I knew have been in the industry for quite a bit, of time. Also went over some CEQA, discussion. Planning commissioners from nearby jurisdictions were in attendance as well. So I thought it was, a good little refresher, for me, for anyone who's new, gave them probably something to work with, and even for myself, even though I've practiced planning and been up here, there's always something new to learn. So I thought it was definitely pretty good. One thing I got out of it, and maybe other commissioners will share some things that they wanted to express, but it seems like we're going to be doing more infill as the city grows, and it seems like lately the residents who've been attending these meetings have had more questions about compatibility, more questions about, the CEQA process, and maybe challenging, not legally challenging, but just challenging some of the conclusions we arrive at. And some of it is just coming from not having a good understanding, I think. Anyways, with that said, I thought one thing that was brought up that might be helpful for us is maybe in our website, we can have some informative pages just, about what is a use permit, what's a variance, what's, nothing too detailed. They'll have to come here and learn for themselves. However, I just thought almost handout size, but at least accessible on the website seems like something pretty easy for staff to develop, and it's just another resource that people can go to understand stuff a little bit better. We're not going to make their questions go away. That's not the intent anyways, but I find myself often asking questions of staff or trying to answer questions so it doesn't come across that we didn't think about something clearly or, evaluate it. It's just that there's a process. We tear off other documents, et cetera, and so it sometimes appears like we're glossing over something when in reality this is really the third tier of review or something on something, and it's been very thoroughly addressed. So just had that thought.
Yes.
If I might just address that really quick, we agree 100%. In fact, we've started collecting articles and different materials. We're going to create our own – we're going to borrow from different sources and create our own sort of simplified 101 planning for the citizens to understand. If there's any materials that you have that you are able to share with us, we'd appreciate that.
I'll add just a couple comments. It was really an interesting workshop, and I felt like it was high level, as you said, Mr. Martinez, but very also very educational. A couple things that I thought were interesting. One is a number of the other commissioners expressed that the staff that they work with regularly at their agencies, oftentimes their packages are delivered like within 48 hours of the Planning Commission hearing. So I felt like, wow, this is really a luxurious treatment that we're given a full week to review these packages. So thank you very much. Also, to add on to Mr. Martinez's comment, Commissioner Martinez's comment is some of the agencies actually have a video at the beginning of the Planning Commission meetings, not to suggest that but that's the extent that they go to in order to educate the public on the process. So they suggested some comment from the chairman as to process, which we usually do, but also workshops or video or something like that to educate, continue the process of educating the public on the role of the Planning Commission and our purpose. So thank you, Commissioner Martinez, for putting that together.
Yeah, and thank you both. And I also had the opportunity, so I want to thank staff for providing us with that opportunity. The American Planning Association put together what I think is a very beneficial training session. I know from time to time we have changes in our Planning Commission on those who are appointed, and I strongly encourage staff to provide those opportunities whenever they do arise for that type of training. I know it was quite educational for me. Carl just reminded me that when I am aware that I will be stepping up as chairman in those cases, I should take the time. I know today we only had a few individuals from our community with us, but to inform them of the process, because I do agree that it's helpful to understand the process and what the steps are relative to what will occur throughout the process. So I think that's something we could certainly incorporate. And Mark, I have copies of all the documentation and will provide copies to you. So the commissioners are aware. I'll provide that. You don't have to worry about that. So again, thank you. I think there was a lot of great information talking about urban design and sustainability. And as we move through and look at our build out, certainly those are areas we need to think about. So again, I appreciate the opportunity, as I know my fellow commissioners did as well. So with that, we will move to the next item on the agenda, which is reports from city staff.
I did have just one item to report to you, and that's to let you know that our assistant planner, Jeff Sumora, has accepted a position with the city of Cupertino, and so he will be leaving us as of May 6th. So we're going to be stretched a little thin downstairs, so bear with us if there's some slips and glitches and things. We'll be doing the best we can, and we are working on a plan to reconfigure and replace Jeff. And we have Travis, who we hired a few months ago, who will be presenting to you at the next meeting. So,
isn't that where our former planning manager?
It is. It appears to be a coincidence, but we all raised an eyebrow.
Wonderful. Well, and we're fortunate to have wonderful staff. We have had some that have moved on to other opportunities, but we do appreciate all that you do. So thank you.
And I'm just going to take an opportunity to follow up kind of on the discussion on your weekend training session. I'm available, and I think it's helpful to have the discussions about the law and the basics, whether it's individually or as a group in a workshop. And as well as those other areas of the law outside of planning that you deal with, whether it's the conflicts or Brown Act or the other. So please feel free to let me know or let staff know if there's something you individually would like to get more information on, discuss, or do something more formal. We're all stretched for time. However, it's very helpful if that information is shared, and it is very helpful to have planning commissioners make wonderful findings like you did tonight. So that all helps the process. So please, if there's anything that you'd like or anything that I can do to assist, let me know.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, with that, we will adjourn. Thank you.